here to study spiritual gifts. Charismatology, the doctrine of spiritual gifts. According to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You may turn in the Word of God as we get started. We're going to resume where we picked up in our last session with 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. We're going to be looking at the spiritual gift of faith. We're going to launch into the ecclesiastical gifts this morning and gain as much ground as we can. We want to have a biblical understanding of the charisma, the charismata. What are the gifts? Coming from charis, meaning grace, something given on a grace basis. They're not rewards, they're not prizes. You can't buy them. You're given them on a grace basis at the moment of your salvation. And so they are gifts of grace. It's sad that the charismatics have adopted the term. I think we should be able to use it just as effectively. We are charismatic in the sense that we teach believers to have spiritual gifts. But we are not charismatic as the charismatics describe it. It's kind of like we're not Catholic as the Catholics would describe it. But we are universal. We are part of the Catholic Universal Church, the body of Christ. All right. We left off with slide 27, the permanent ecclesiastical gifts. We're not going to go into the temporary gifts. I decided to reserve those for more intermediate or advanced studies. Decided to reserve those for when we come back to this again and we want to study on a more advanced level, what was the nature of the apostolic gift, the nature of prophecy, miracles, tongues, and all of those. I think it's important to understand those, to place the book of Acts in its proper context, to place the New Testament, the writing of the epistles, in its proper context. But it is not necessary for today, for a brand new baby believer today, to get a handle on the gift of apostle, for example. I think if a baby believer knows that there were temporary gifts, they were done away with, there are permanent gifts, they're still available, those are the ones that a babe in Christ should be praying about and considering about and wrestling with the Lord and wondering what his gift really is. And so that is where we're going to focus on. We're going to focus on the permanent gifts that have an ongoing distribution throughout the dispensation of the church, age of the local church. Such gifts include faith, or I've expanded that to call it faith worker. That's my title. Another other pastors or other writings, it's just simply listed as the gift of faith. Teacher, helper, administrator, server. I've also tried to give endings on all of these so that you recognize that it is a person who does the activity of. That's what the gift is about. A helper is a believer who exercises a gift of helping. A faith worker is a believer who exercises the gift of faith. A teacher is someone who teaches. An administrator is a believer who administrates with a gift of administrations. Desperately needed and not that appreciated and not often recognized. If it's not taught, then believers don't know to look for this gift or be praying about this gift or embracing this gift when it becomes clear that that's the gift they have. Server, the one who serves, is usually rendered service, but I wanted to keep the ers going there, so I called it server. The exhorter, encourager, comforter. Now, there's a triplet. The exhorter, encourager, comforter. And in many ways, we're going to have to keep it in that trinity because it is the paraclete. The verb parakaleo has all three aspects in terms of its vocabulary function. And there are some times that we see a paraclete exhorting. There are times that we see a paraclete encouraging. And there are times that we see a paraclete comforting. And it's the same word, the paraklesis word, that gets translated in three different ways. So I'm going to go ahead and keep that gift hyphenated or slashed, and you'll see what I mean when we get to that point. A giver is somebody with a gift of giving. A leader. There is a gift of leadership, and do not confuse that leadership gift with other gifts that we refer to as leadership gifts. Apostle was a leadership gift, obviously, in the early church, but it was not the gift of leader. Pastor, teachers, and evangelists are leadership gifts in the age of the local church, but it's not the same as the gift of leader. There is a gift of leader or leadership that is distinct from these other spiritual gifts. And unless you're taught what these gifts are, in a lot of cases, like administrator, this gift is totally ignored. Nobody prays about it. Nobody wonders about it. Nobody recognizes that that's the gift they have because they've never been taught that that is a gift that's available to them. The mercy shower, not shower, shower, the one who shows mercy. This is where hospitality comes in as a ministry of showing mercy. It is one form of showing mercy. There are several forms of showing mercy. The evangelist and the pastor teacher. Those are the 11 permanent gifts for the dispensation of the church. We're going to describe them based on biblical descriptions. We're also going to describe the varieties of those gifts with modern day illustrations, present experiential illustrations. And we start with the faith worker, the gift of faith. And I'll turn my Bible to 1 Corinthians 12:9, and we'll look at this. Remember, these three complete chapters, chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14, form a unit that details spiritual gifts. One complete unit. We'll have more to say on that coming up. But in verse 4, we read, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit." I should also highlight verse 1. I haven't highlighted that well enough. "Concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware." There is a danger. Spiritual gifts is an area of doctrine, an area of teaching that is vulnerable to abuse. It is vulnerable to false teaching. It is vulnerable to satanic intrusion. Anytime you have Paul or any author saying, "I do not want you to be unaware," it means that this is something we have to spotlight and make sure we're clear on. Right? We want to understand that. Paul's not saying you can be ignorant about other things. He's saying that this is one you must focus on because it's so ripe for false teaching. Now, there are, verse 4 says, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. I want each one of us to keep these things in mind as we go gift by gift by gift. The gifts, the ministries, and the effects. All right? We're presently looking at faith worker. But stop to consider that you could have three different faith workers in the same local church. I'm not talking miracle worker, I'm talking faith worker. That's a difference. I detected a vibration a moment ago. Miracles are done. We're not talking miracle workers, we're talking faith workers in a biblical application, not the whacked out stuff. Now, you could have three different faith workers in a local church with three entirely different ministries. Why? Because there's a variety of gifts, variety of ministries, variety of effects. And so they may have the same gift, but because there are a variety of ministries, you can look at three different believers with this gift, and they're totally different in how they're serving the Lord and the work that's getting done. Varieties of ministries, varieties of effects. Even in the case where they have the same gift and the same ministry, there could be a variety of effects. That is, the workings of that gift are manifest in different ways. That will become clear as well. Although it is a fruit of the Spirit, you read in Galatians 5 and verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith. That's pistis. That's the same word we have here. It's a spiritual gift, but every believer should manifest faith. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it's a fruit of the Spirit. A fruit of the Spirit is faith, and every believer ought to express faith to one another. Believers with this particular gift, however, manifest the Holy Spirit through an extraordinary proportion of faith, enabling them to come alongside and help other believers who may be weak in faith. And I'm going to show you what I mean by all of these here in a moment. So, but just think through now. Because if you get this one, you're going to get all the rest of them. You're going to get all the rest of them. Because every believer should have faith. Every believer should witness. Every believer should give. Every believer should shepherd. Every believer should every spiritual gift. Say, but those with the gift, however, go above and beyond because they're empowered by God the Holy Spirit specifically to bear fruit in that regard. Now, I call this faith worker. I read in verse 9, it says, we've got all the varieties, but the same Spirit, the same Lord, the same Father. Notice in verse 7, each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. That's why on the screen you see that believers with this gift manifest the Holy Spirit. When you use your gift, you are manifesting the Holy Spirit. When you use your gift. If you're using human talent, if you're using your own human ability, you are not manifesting the Holy Spirit. The use of a gift is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, according to verse 7. And then it goes on and starts listing them. To one is given the word of wisdom, and another the word of knowledge. Those are both temporary gifts. We no longer have them today. Faith, in verse 9, by the same Spirit. And to another, healing and miracles, prophecy. Those are other temporary gifts. As a matter of fact, when I put that chart up there the other day, and at one time we had paper copies of this available last week, I think, boy, they disappeared. People grabbed those faster than anything. We probably ought to print off some more. Everything in the left-hand column, it's interesting. Faith is the only one that continues to this day. Every other gift in that column, from word of wisdom, word of knowledge, healing, miracles, prophecy, tongues, every other gift in that column was a temporary gift for the foundation of the church. This is the only one in list one that is a present ongoing church to this day. Ongoing gift to this day in the church. All right, now notice. So what is this gift of faith? Well, we have a clue in the very next chapter. In chapter 13, which you say is all about love, I say it's all about spiritual gifts. But in chapter 13, one of the things that's highlighted is the gift of faith. In chapter 13, it says, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. All right. Verse 2, if I have the gift of prophecy and I know all mysteries, that's the word of knowledge and word of wisdom, and have all knowledge, and if I have, there's the gift of faith there, if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. And it goes on, all of these gifts, if you have the gift of giving and you give everything, but you don't have love, you have nothing. And then it goes on to describe love in verses 4 and following, which is why we think of this as a love chapter. But it's a spiritual gift chapter, and I'll have more to say about that at the conclusion of this series. Now, faith works. You've got to understand that. Faith does something. Faith doesn't just sit there. Faith doesn't just, you know, well, I believe it, I have faith. Faith is active. You're not just a hearer of the word, you are a doer. See, if you're a hearer only, you delude yourselves. You must be a worker as well as a hearer. That's what James 2:17 is all about. Hebrews 11:33-38. I'm going to say some more about that here in a moment. Let's look at it. James 2:17 and Hebrews 11. See, faith works. This isn't just a thing of, well, I believe. Okay? What does that do? You know, there are people who very fervently, with all their being, believe in Darwinian evolution. What value is that? But they fervently hold to it. They believe it. They embrace it with all of their heart, mind, soul, and strength. Right? You can believe a lie. And the value of your belief has nothing to do with how fervently you cling to it. The value of your belief is totally centered on the merit of the object. If you believe a lie, your faith is worthless. If you believe the truth, your faith is infinite. See, and it's not a matter of whether you cling to it powerfully, or you just lightly hold on to it, or you have it at a distance. You can have degrees of your fervency, but the value of the faith is grounded in the merit of the object. So your faith in Jesus Christ is infinitely eternal unto salvation. And it has nothing to do with how firmly you hold on to Him. Because let's face it, we all have ups and downs in the Christian way of life. We all have days where we don't feel very intimate with the Lord. But it does not change the objective reality of our eternal security. Now, in James 2, we're familiar with that because we've had that in Sunday evenings recently. Everything from chapter 1 that deals with hearing and doing, and then the summary statement in chapter 2 and verse 17. Faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. Faith without works is dead. Faith in action. Jesus Christ said if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could move mountains. And that's what's referred to in 1 Corinthians 13, where it says, if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, and yet do not have love, I am nothing. Faith, believers with a gift of faith are expected to do something with that faith. We're not talking about miracles. We're not talking about some works of power. We're talking about applications of faith, not miracles. There's a difference if we understand it biblically. I want you to see something in Hebrews 11. Now, we're going to be careful with this because this is not an illustration of spiritual gifts. In Hebrews 11, we have the Hall of Fame of Faith. We're looking back to Old Testament believers. And I said it before, I'll say it again. They did not have the universal indwelling of the Holy Spirit. They did not have spiritual gifts like you and I have them today. But they lived by faith. And their example should stimulate us who do have the universal indwelling of the Holy Spirit and who do have a spiritual gift. Look what they did on the basis of faith. It says, by faith, conquered kingdoms. I'm just going to pick up in the middle of a sentence. Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, all the prophets. Who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release so they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonments. I want you to notice, mocking, scourging, chains, and imprisonments are applications of faith. Because those are work assignments that the Father expects you to apply faith in those activities. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. That's the legend of Isaiah. Isaiah the prophet was supposedly cut in two. It's the old rabbinic tradition. We don't have scripture to prove that, but that's a long-standing tradition. They were tempted. They were put to death with a sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy. I like that phrase. Wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. You know, the dispensation of the church brings so much reality to what previous dispensations were looking forward to. All of the shadows and types and animal sacrifices and all the promises looking forward to the reality. We live the reality. And look what they did on a basis of faith. No Holy Spirit to empower them, no spiritual gift. Look what they accomplished. And stop and ask yourself, what are you doing on the basis of faith? Because even without the spiritual gift of faith, you've got the fruit of the Spirit of faith. What are you doing now? Believers with this gift have an extraordinary proportion. Let's go back to Romans 12. We haven't been to Romans 12 yet. Let's look at Romans 12. We were in 1 Corinthians 12 a moment ago. Let's go to Romans 12 now, and I want you to see something interesting. We have an interesting intimation here in verse 6. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Now keep in mind, they're different. It doesn't say they're better. It says they're different. We receive them on grace. See, I don't have the pastor-teacher gift because I deserved it, because I was special, because I earned it. Just the opposite. He chooses the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And whatever gift you have, you didn't earn it either. You have it on the basis of grace. It says, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, now notice, according to the proportion of his faith. Faith comes in measurable amounts. Now we can't do the measuring, but God can. And there are proportions. Some have more, some have less. We all can deal with proportions. If you have proportions when you're fixing something, when you're cooking, when you have recipes, there's different proportions, and sometimes you overdo it on certain things. In my mind, there's things you can't overdo. Right? Just load it up with all the garlic imaginable. There's no such, you can't go over proportion on garlic. Or whatever. Okay? But I just want you to see that phrase, proportion of faith. in service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching. But notice, whether it's the gift of prophecy, the gift of service, the gift of teaching, the gift of exhortation, whatever it is, it's according to the proportion of your faith. There are proportions. And so the believer with a gift of faith has an extraordinary proportion of faith, more than simply what the fruit of the Spirit is giving you. If the fruit of the Spirit is giving you a 9-volt battery worth of faith, then the spiritual gift of faith is giving you, you know, a D cell or something larger. You're getting more faith. It's hard to put this in terms. It is really hard when we start to try to categorize the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is omnipotent. And we have the Holy Spirit indwelling each one of us, totally. I have the Holy Spirit totally indwelling me. You have the Holy Spirit totally indwelling you. And you don't have any less Holy Spirit in you because I have so much dwelling in me, right? I'm not using up most of the Holy Spirit's effort, and he's not exhausted with very little left over for you guys. That's not the way it works. He ministers to me infinitely, ministers to each one infinitely. But the proportion he supplies, the empowerment supplies in the giftings, is proportionate. It's different. They differ. Not saying one's better, not saying one's worse. But we're told of Stephen, for example, he grew strong in spirit. What does that mean? It means he wasn't weak in spirit. It means he had an empowerment that was greater than other believers had their empowerment. And of course, he gives that grace, and the greater grace comes when we need it. So it's according to the proportion of faith. And when you don't just have that faith to do nothing. You have that faith to do something, to move mountains, if need be. See, that's the thing. People, a skeptic would say, well, go ahead and move mountains then. Find me a believer that gets a faith and have them move mountains. Not necessary to move mountains. Just like it's not necessary to build a tabernacle. You have to use your gift in the plan of God. Now, enabling them to come alongside and help other believers who may be weak in faith. Romans 14:1 tells us, accept the brother who is weak in faith. But not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. He is weak in faith. So who better to come alongside and help than a believer with the spiritual gift of faith worker? Who better to come alongside? Such believers would obviously anchor congregational prayer meetings. Think about it. Such believers would also thrive in hospital or visitation ministries. Such believers would obviously anchor congregational prayer meetings. James 1:6, let them ask of God and let them ask in faith, it says. Because if you don't ask believing, don't expect that you're going to receive anything. He must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. So you've got a believer, and he's struggling. He's grown weak in faith. What's his prayer life like? If he is weak in faith, like Romans 14:1 describes, what's his prayer life like when he realizes that faith is an essential ingredient for active prayers in James 1? His prayer life's going to be struggling. Who do you think can come alongside and help in that prayer life? Well, all believers ought to. All believers should come alongside, but a believer with a gift of faith in particular can come alongside and pray with the faith empowerment to say, hey, I know you're struggling. I know you don't believe this test is going to work out, but I believe it will. Let me pray from my faith for the ecbasis to your test. Let me pray from the standpoint of my faith and lift you up at this time. Such believers would also thrive in hospital or visitation ministries. Think about it, where believers are hurting and they're sick and they're struggling. And here comes somebody alongside who can visit with them and pray with them and can communicate a faith. Because they're sitting there and they're scared because the doctor gave them, you know, some stupid thing like you've got 6 months to live or whatever. Like doctors really know that. They got all these predictions and percentages and odds and different things. What do they know? Doesn't matter what the doctor says. You have X number of days, the same X number that God provided in the divine decree from the foundation of the world. That's the percentage. You got 100% chance of making it to the X number of days that God decreed in eternity past. You don't have to be a doctor to figure that out. Now, there's the gift of faith. How about the gift of teacher? gift of teacher. It's featured in 1 Corinthians 12, 28 and 29, also in Romans 12, 7, in both places. Every believer ought to grow to a maturity status that will equip them for teaching. See, don't think that, well, I don't have the gift of teacher, I don't have to teach. No, by now you should be teachers. By now you should be mature enough. You've got enough doctrine. You've been in the Word of God. Whatever your gift is, you've got the opportunity to teach. Hebrews 5:12. Just like every believer should give. You don't have to have the gift of giving to give. You don't have to have the gift of evangelism to give the gospel to somebody. Every gift is an activity that every believer ought to be doing as the Lord provides opportunities. So even though every believer ought to grow to a maturity status that will equip them for teaching, Hebrews 5:12, and those who are growing into a teaching position of responsibility in a local church, they must pay heed to the accountability warnings of James 3:1, which says, "Let not many of you become teachers." I love the way Scripture does that. One passage says, by now you ought to be teachers. And another passage says, let not many become teachers. You know what it's saying? It's saying you're accountable. By now you should be there, and once you are there, you're accountable. You incur the stricter judgment. In the interest of time, I won't turn to Hebrews 5:12 or James 3:1, but you can look those up as homework assignments. Believers with this particular gift, however... You're going to hear that a lot. Believers with this particular gift, however, manifest the Holy Spirit through an extraordinary grace enablement that communicates the Word of God with power. 1 Corinthians 2:13 and 1 Thessalonians 1:5. There's a difference in teaching with power. Utilizing a spiritual gift, utilizing the function of the teaching gift through the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:13, 1 Thessalonians 1:5. We've got a lot of teachers around here, and I appreciate that. Some of them have teaching gifts, and some of them are simply maturity status with the ability to teach. 1 Corinthians 2:13, in which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual with spiritual. In 1 Thessalonians 1:5, the Word of God came to you not in word only. Our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction. Such believers would have teaching ministries. Notice, such believers would have teaching ministries in and out of local churches, and would be expected to step into the office of overseer upon reaching the maturity status of elder. If you missed our teaching on ecclesiology, I would encourage you to review that material on what's the difference between deacons and elders, and what's the difference between a gift and a maturity status. You can grow to the maturity status of elder no matter what your gift is, and you should. Just because you have a gift, don't think that, oh, well, I'm trapped to be a spiritual infant. No. You grow from babe to adolescent to mature no matter what your gift is. Maturity status of elder is available for all believers who grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But since the office of elder, the office of overseer, are expected to be teachers, in fact, one of the requirements was able to teach. Remember that? Because the overseer is expected to be able to teach, it is normal for believers with this gift. I almost said natural. I don't want to use natural. It's supernatural. It's divine. It is normal that believers with a teaching gift will step into an office of overseer upon reaching that maturity status of elder. That is a normal progression for that gift. That's the gift of teacher. How about the gift of helper? 1 Corinthians 12:28. Every believer ought to be helpful to one another, as well as towards those outside the church. Oh, let me back up. Teaching ministries in and out of local churches. I mean, if you think about it, the local church is here for the equipping of the saints for the work of service. That work of service is most likely not here in the local church. That work of service is out there. There's a church in Houston where when you drive off their parking lot, there's a sign posted there that says where you expect to say, you know, buckle up or drive carefully, whatever. There's a sign posted there at the parking lot when you leave the church and it says, you are now entering your mission field. And I like that sign. Thought about stealing that sign. The Bible says, thou shalt not steal, so, you know. But we've had believers in the past that have had very fruitful teaching ministries in a variety of places. You want to start a Bible class in your home once a week. You want to start a ministry. You want to teach in a nursing home. Different places, wide open. What do you want to do? Variety of places where ministry can take place. All right. I'm going to try to illustrate some of the varieties of ministries and varieties of effects. With a teaching gift, does that mean you have to be teaching adults? Could you be teaching children? That would be a variety of ministry to the teaching gift. Could you be teaching women, a female teacher, teaching women? Just because a woman can't teach or exercise authority over a man, we studied that as to why women can't be pastor teachers. Just because a woman can't teach or exercise authority over a man, according to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12, does that mean they can't have teaching ministry with other women or with children? Absolutely. So these varieties of ministries and varieties of effects really broaden the application for different believers with the gift of teaching can be used. They can be used. All right, the helper. Now, every believer ought to be helpful. This is another one of those. Well, I don't have the gift of giving. I don't have to give. I don't have the gift of helps, so I'm not going to help you. Wait a minute. We all should be helpful towards one another as well as towards those outside the church. Acts 20:35, Romans 8:23 through 26. We should be helpful. It's stunning the way different cults and false religions, they'll bend over backwards. I think till her dying day, do you know who spent more time in Joyce Mansell's house than anybody else? The Mormons. Constantly stopping in, visiting, seeing how Joyce was doing, asking if they could go to the store, bring her anything. Now, they were doing it as a part of their religion, trying to earn favor and advancement in their Melchizedek priesthood of the Mormon church, whatever they call it. But it's pathetic how they bend over backwards and serve and help. And other ways where these groups put biblical Christianity to shame. But if there's somebody in need, who should be the first one at their door? With food, with clothes, with transportation, with whatever's needed. You'd think it'd be a brother in Christ. So although we should be helpful, believers with this gift, however, manifest the Holy Spirit through an extraordinary grace enablement. Now I want you to see what this gift does. Through an extraordinary grace enablement that complements other believers' giftings. It complements other believers' giftings in the coordinated achievement of work. In the coordinated achievement of work. Think Adam and Eve. Adam was alone. It is not good to be alone. I will make him what? A helper. A helper. Someone that is crafted and designed to come alongside and complement the work that Adam was expected to do. That's a helper. Through a coordinated achievement of work. Now think about it. A believer with this gift can come alongside other believers and their gifts and engage in those ministries. With the Holy Spirit's empowerment, providing assistance, not leading those ministries, there's a gift of leadership, not with the primary work being done. Now keep in mind, there's such a variety with this gift because if a believer with this gift comes alongside a pastor teacher, he might be doing something. But if he comes alongside an evangelist, he might be doing something else. If he comes alongside somebody with the gift of giving, he might be doing something else. If he comes alongside a believer with a gift of hospitality, he might be doing something else. But here's a believer with a gift of helps, empowered to come alongside and complement other believers' giftings in the coordinated achievement of work. Think helpmate from Genesis 2, and you'll do very well with this gift. Such believers could provide logistical support functions for a local church ministry. 1 Corinthians 16:16. Let's take a peek at that. 1 Corinthians 16:16. I know I can't go long this morning. This is Communion Sunday. I mentioned Joyce a little while ago. Joyce Munseau was actually the biggest help for me on punctuality because being in her wheelchair, she had to have that bus scheduled to come pick her up. And, if I was still going on, long-winded and so forth, and the bus is pulling through the parking lot trying to get Joyce picked up, it was a little difficult. So Joyce was my conscience, letting me know I was going long. Such believers could provide logistical support functions for a local church ministry, 1 Corinthians 16:16. Now notice, it says in verse 15, I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that they were the first fruits of Achaia, and they have devoted themselves for ministry to the saints. Now, there are a variety of gifts, there are a variety of ministries, but this was the form that they pursued. This was their calling. This was what they devoted themselves to. This is worthy of a devotion. Your calling is given by the Lord. It is worthy of a devotion. That you also be in subjection to such men and to everyone who helps in the work and labors. All right? So you've got the workers and then you've got the ones who come alongside and help. And it may be that you have the household of Stephanas here in Fortuna and in Fortunatus and Achaicus, those guys that are mentioned there in verse 17. Fortunatus is Latin. It means lucky. All right? Wonder how you got that name. But they have a ministry. They've devoted themselves to that ministry. And then there's others that come along and help them in that ministry. See? I think we just had the report from Glen Haven Youth Ranch, and I'm just rejoicing so much that the Lord sent Dan Hawkins to Glen Haven just in time to be a help. For Quentin. Now, we didn't know Quentin was about to have this big old stroke that he had at the November of last year, and he was going to need all this help, but the Lord coordinated all that. He had Dan Hawkins there ready to go. A ministry and someone that comes alongside to help. Helpers may serve in the office of deacon, Romans 15:24, Romans 16:2, or may serve as helpers without any office for years and years and years and years and years. The anonymous heroes. Serving to help, serving to come alongside. Their gift, their calling, is to help other believers fulfill their gifts and callings. And they don't feel insulted by virtue of that. They don't feel that somehow they're inferior. Because they're successful when they make others successful. And the whole point is glorifying Christ anyway, not your own personal glory. What a delight it is to just remain anonymous and help. That's why, you know, it's not going to be the... Whatever reward a pastor is going to get at the judgment seat of Christ goes to his wife anyway. Right? I mean, let me tell you, the legends, we can talk about some faithful pastors over the years, but, you know, great prayer needs to go up for the pastor's wives, for, you know, the Dorothy Brons and Dorothy Jensens and Evelyn Schmitz, Cindy... Crowder and all the other pastors' wives you can name. Let's look at some of these other ones here and then we'll go to our communion table. Romans 15:24. whenever it says, for this reason I have often been prevented from coming to you, but now with no further place for me in these regions, and since I have had for many years a longing to come to you, whenever I go to Spain, for I hope to see you in passing, and to be helped on my way there by you, when I have first enjoyed your company for a while, but now I'm going to Jerusalem serving the saints. See, there is a helping ministry just logistically. Helping travel arrangements, helping housing arrangements, helping transportation, helping for some of the details. See? And getting those things taken care of. That can be a spiritual ministry by a believer with a gift of helps who, under the filling of the Holy Spirit for the glory of Jesus Christ, accomplishes those activities as a sweet-smelling savor. Accomplishes those activities as a sweet-smelling savor. See? Now, it's just earthly activity, isn't it? I mean, think about, guys coming through town. We almost had it happen where some pastors were flying through and they got a better airfare by flying through out of San Antonio rather than Austin, or et cetera, et cetera. And so what ended up happening, we had to go pick them up at an airport in San Antonio, bring them to Bergstrom, and they could fly out of Austin. Okay? Just details. You know, an unbeliever could have done that. Unbeliever can drive a car and pick people up in one town, take them to another town. You say, what's the big deal? But a believer with a gift of helps, under the filling of the Holy Spirit, for the glory of Jesus Christ, for the pleasure of God the Father, can accomplish that as a ministry, as a sweet-smelling savor, offered up before the throne of grace and say, Father, this is my gift of ministry. This is my service. Thank you for letting me be a part of this. Thank you for letting me provide transportation. Thank you for letting me be, these are pastors on their way to a conference or wherever they're going. Oh, that's what it was. The conference was in San Antonio, but rather than flying out of San Antonio, it was much better for them to fly out of Austin. So go pick them up at their hotel, bring them to Austin. A believer can do that and glorify Jesus Christ through the utilization of a gift, the gift of helps. Romans 16:2, here's Phoebe. Mentioned in verse 1, we'll have more to say about Phoebe. And then verse 2, that you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, that you help her in whatever matter she may have need of you. For she herself has also been a helper of many, and of myself as well. The neat work with Phoebe, and then you got to decide what you're going to do with the term servant or deaconess in verse 1. Helpers may serve in the office of deacon or may serve as helpers without any office for years and years and years and years. It's the nature of the gift. All right, we've covered faith, teacher, and helper. Next time we'll come back, we'll do administrator, server, paraclete, giver, leader. We'll see how far we get. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for this study, and I pray that each believer will be challenged, that we have responsibilities towards one another, but we also have particular opportunities dependent upon our gift, dependent upon our proportion of faith. And Father, we want to be about our Father's business. We want to accomplish what it is that you have for us to do. We want to lay hold of that for which also we were laid hold of by Christ Jesus. And I pray, Father, that each one of us would recognize that in Christ, we have been created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which were prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Those good works include our gift. They include our ministry. They include the workings of our calling. And I pray that each believer here would be motivated to seek that out. And I thank you and I praise you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.